I want to read for you out of the Message. So I'm going to read off a sheet of paper because I don't have the Message in print. Just in print. Okay. Because it's on my computer. Verses 34 through 40 out of Matthew chapter 22. When the Pharisees heard how he had bested the Sadducees, they gathered their forces for an assault. One of their religion scholars spoke for them, posing a question they hoped would show him up. "Teacher, which command in God's law is the most important?" Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important. The first on any list. But there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs from them." Now, that's a little different way than I've heard it placed, heard it put. But there was one serious flaw in the question being posed in the first place. You look at this whole thing, asking him to put out an answer to a question of what in God's law, what's the greatest? Basically, what sin is the worst sin? And for that, you can look at something that really comes out of another place. Let's see, where is that? It's in James, I believe, 2:10. James 2:10. Yeah. James 2:10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." So, it doesn't matter really which one of the commandments. All the commandments are laws equal to the others. Sin, you've heard it said before, and I'll say it again, sin is sin is sin. God sees sin equal. All sin is equal. Murder is just as much a sin as lying. Period. All of it separates man from God. Sin is sin. Period. So, sin, no matter what it is something that needs forgiveness. Sin, no matter what it is something that needs to have atonement. Sin, no matter what it is something that needs Jesus and the sacrifice that he gave us on the cross, and then the new life that comes from the resurrection. So, with all that said, Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion, with all your prayer, with all your attention, intelligence, or with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And what he says is all the law basically hangs on these two ideas, all these concepts. If you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, everything that has been written down as laws that God has designed, as laws, so to speak, will be things that you will naturally be not inclined to do or participate in, or be inclined to do if they are positive things. If you're loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'll be naturally inclined to do them if they're positive things. Be naturally not inclined to do if they're negative things. So, let's take a look at something here and get a little bit different perspective on life and living and the way we look at things.
$10 for the person who can tell me he won the state championship
Isaac?
A decade ago.
Walker Jennings.
No.
North Metro.
Stop guessing, you know it or you don't. How about 5 years ago?
Richland.
That was 3 years ago. You can't remember, can you? Leads me to ask a couple of questions. What's the purpose of this team?
Win ball games.
Then what?
We get a trophy and people talk about us.
Maybe, for a while. Then what?
I don't know. Get a scholarship, play for college, and coach Little League.
What are you getting at, Grant? You think we're just wasting our time?
If our main goal is to win football games, then yes.
You don't want us to win games.
No. Not if that's our main goal. Winning football games is too small a thing to live for. And I love football as much as anybody. But even championship trophies will one day collect dust and be forgotten. It's just that so far all this has been about us. How we can look good. How we can get the glory. The more I read this book, the more I realize life's not about us. We're not here just to get glory, make money, and die. The Bible says that God put us here for Him, to honor Him. Jesus said the most important thing you could do with your life is to love God with everything you are and love others as yourself. So if we win every game and we miss that, we've done nothing. Football then means nothing. So I'm here to present you a new team philosophy. I think that football is just one of the tools we use to honor God.
So you think God does care about football?
I think He cares about your faith. He cares about where your heart is. And if you can live your faith out on the football field, then yes, God cares about football because He cares about you. He sent His Son Jesus to die for us so we could live for Him. That's why we're here. But see, it's not just on the football field. We've got to honor Him in our relationships, in our respect for authority, in the classroom, and when you're at home alone surfing the internet. I want God to bless this team so much people talk about what He did. But it means we've got to give Him our best in every area. And if we win, we praise Him. And if we lose, we praise Him. Either way, we honor Him with our actions and our attitudes. So I'm asking you, what are you living for? I've resolved to give God everything I've got. Then I'll leave the results up to Him. I want to know if you'll join me.
That's what it's about. That whole statement that Jesus made is about that. Giving God all you got and leaving the results up to Him. Whatever you do in life, giving Him all you have. Loving Him with all you have. Giving Him all your strength. Everything you do, doing it as unto God. Giving Him all your intellect, whether you have a job that is a job that is in the faith work or not, it is something that people are going to be impacted by your faith, whether you realize it or not. Your faith is not something that can be compartmentalized. You can't just box up Jesus and take Him out when it's convenient. He's not a genie in a bottle that you just rub and say, I'm sick. I need this. Grandma's sick. She needs this. I need a test grade that's better than a C or I'm going to fail this class. Too many times Christians live that kind of faith where Jesus is just a part of I need, I want. And I talked a little bit about this with the youth this morning. If you got a friend who just calls you when you need something, or a friend who just calls you when they need help with something, that's not really a friend, is it? That's not somebody you really enjoy spending time with, is it? God feels the same way. We shouldn't think of God as somebody, someone above that kind of mentality. God looked at the Israelites the same way. Hey, you turned your back on me. I didn't turn my back on you. He says it in the Old Testament. If we want to use and abuse our relationship with God by only calling on Him when we need something and only calling on Him when we want something, why should we not be surprised that someone ends up getting sick when they get sick? Because God has lifted His hand of protection off of them. He didn't lift His hand of protection off of them. They walked out from under it. Does that make sense? He didn't lift His hand of protection out from off from a top of over them. They walked out from underneath it. Because they were too busy with the rest of their life, they just all of a sudden take Jesus out of the box. All of a sudden somebody's sick. I need this, I need that. Okay, now things are better in life. We put him back in the box. Shove him back under the bed. It gets dusty. All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength means everything, means every day, means every minute, means all the time. Doesn't mean at your convenience. Doesn't mean when you choose, it means always. Exactly what it says. All. Definition. Everything. Everything. All. Exactly that. Your neighbor as yourself. Neighbor, who is my neighbor? The disciples asked Jesus. Look around you. Don't just look around you here. Look out your door. Picture in your mind the person that you can't stand the most. That is your neighbor. You need to love them as you love yourself. The nice things that you want to give yourself, the nice things that you desire God to bless you with, you need to desire those nice blessings for God to give them. If you can't bring yourself to do that, then you need to ask God to help you bring yourself to do that. It's right there, not in black and white, but in red letters in my Bible. What it means is Jesus finds it more important for us to have a daily relationship with Him than He does for us to do all the things we do on Sunday mornings. All the singing, the order of worship, all that stuff means nothing to Him compared to our relationship on a daily basis with Him. And relationship entails a daily commitment to communing with Him. Communing means communicating, open line communication. It doesn't mean convenient. Doesn't mean Bible study. It means treating him as if he were right beside you, as if he were a person that was alive, because he is. We say it at Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is alive and seated at the right hand of God. But we also say he's omnipresent, right? That means he's right here, right now, in our midst, as friends. We believe that more than we believe a lot of other things, don't we? So if he's right here in our presence, why can't we have a real relationship with him as much as we have a relationship with our brother, our sister, our mother, our father, our husband, our wife? Maybe it's because we don't have such a good relationship with them. And maybe we need to work on that too. But first, we need to work on our relationship with God. Because only in our relationship with God being its best can those relationships be their best. Needs to be God first, and then all the other relationships will fall into place. Illustration I shared at a funeral the other week. There's a little girl, and this hits me hard. It was bugging her daddy to come away from the TV set, to go down to the corner store and get a candy bar. It was a tradition they had for years and years and years. It was their thing to do, and he was involved in a TV show, whatever it was, whatever it is, put you in that place. And she came to him a couple different times, and he finally got frustrated with it, says, all right, fine, grab the nearest magazine. There was a big picture of the world on it, on a page. He tore out that picture of the world, and he said, okay. He ripped it up into a bunch of little pieces. He said, here, take this and this roll of scotch tape. As soon as you bring that back to me, back the way it should be, exactly the way it should be, then we'll go to the store. Not 6-7 minutes later, she comes back, surprises him, can't believe that she has this all back together exactly the way it should be. He looks at her and goes, honey, how in the world did you do that? She goes, it was easy, Daddy, turn it over. On the other side was a picture of Jesus on the cross. She said, Daddy, as soon as I put him exactly in the place where he needed to be, everything else went in the exact place it needed to be. So when we put Jesus in the exact place he needs to be in our life, everything else will fall in the exact place it needs to be in our life. When we love Jesus, love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself, our lives will be in order. Our lives will be in the right shape. Otherwise, they will be in as much chaos and disarray as those torn up pieces of paper. Everything else will fall into place.